the body which he gave his life for. The body which he gave his life for does belong to him, not doesn't belong to me or to anybody else. It's his body. So there are three important things that you, in this end time, the true church would be very clearly identified from the false. The true body of Christ is different from the denominational Christianity. Because, the first of all, the anointing she receives. Secondly, the love of God reflected in her. Thirdly, progressing to unity of faith. Now let's understand all these three things independently. The anointing the bride will have is different to the others who will fail to see the truth and the revelation through holding on the same Bible because she is seated in the heavenly places. The anointing that the bride is received is different to the people who are among the rest of the people in the Christianity. One of the reasons is it is the bride who sits in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus because she sees the things. In the final age, a collective body of Christ from around the world will begin to come together in the unity to understand the revealed scriptures. Wherever you live, if you are a part of the end time genuine body, what you preach, what you teach, and what you believe is same truth of the revelation. Now the body of Christ is a mystical body. Wherever you are in the world, you would be believing the same truth because you would see the same thing. If you are seated in the heavenly places, you cannot have two different pictures. You will have the same picture. You will see the same thing. You will see the same thing that the Lord would reveal. The anointing that the bride of Christ will have at the end time, in essence, is matched the anointing that are the first age apostles. The anointing that you and I, the bride of Christ, will have is the same identical anointing that the bride of Christ had, the church of apostolic fathers had at that time. You see, if I ask the questions, if you say there are two different anointings, is it anointing from the same Lord? If I say there are two different anointings, one is for the bride of Christ, one is for the Christians, is the both anointing is from the Lord? Well, that's the question that you would ask from me. Is it or is it not? I think we have this answer from the Bible. Let's begin to understand that. It says, through this glorious anointing, God is going to restore every gift that was in operation at that time. One of the things that the anointing would do is to restore back everything that God has designed for His children. If there was an anointing at the first stage, and through that anointing, that God restored everything that was He designed for, and in this age, in the seventh age, that God is going to restore everything back. So therefore, the body of Christ would have the gifts in operation in the same manner in the first age. Everything is going to be cultivated and set in motion just exactly the way that God has ordained it to be in originally. You know, when God will do nothing short of what He originally designed, the original, the real thing that God has designed, what happens is because a lot of fake and a lot of false items are there. Recently, I had to take few bankers who came from one of our Italian bank, corresponding bank from Italy, to a restaurant. Somebody suggested to go to this Santa Fernando's newest place, Tintagel, the former Mrs. Bandaranaike's house. So it's a real masterpiece. He had converted it to absolutely a masterpiece. I must tell you, one of the best boutique hotels maybe you would see in the world. And I think one of the best restaurants also, maybe not on even in this part of the Asia. So he was there, he was telling us, I put the real thing here. Whether it's a chandelier, whether it's, you know, the beds, everything, it's not the fake, it's a real thing. Knowing the man, I believe, because it's true. Such a masterpiece he converted. So what happens is, when God, he will bring the real thing back to the bride of Christ, to the body of Christ, not anything that is going to be fake or duplicate or something like look-alike. Now Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:27, now he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. So he talks about this anointing. But the anointing which ye have received of him abide in you. And he need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teach you all things. And his truth and no lie, and even hath taught you, and ye shall abide in him. So what he says is, when the anointing comes, that anointing will lead you to all the truth. And it will be part of you. There are two anointings I want to explain here. You find when God anointed King Saul, you see 1 Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took a veil, means bottle of oil, and poured it upon his head, and kissed him and said, it is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. When the Israelites were asking for a king, and then God finally decided to give in to that, and when God picked a man, and when Samuel went there, and then he anointed him, the Bible says, Samuel took a veil of oil and poured it upon his head. Right? So he took the oil from the bottle. But then you come to King David. Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. So there were two different anointing from the same. One was anointed from the bottle of oil. Other one was anointed from a horn of oil. So you would ask, what's the difference? Here is a bottle. And something like this. He was anointed from the bottle of oil, whereas David was anointed from a horn of oil. This is like a bottle. This is, you know, thanks to internet, you just type what you want and something comes to you. So here, I just want to get the idea of, you know, this is the bottle that represents that Saul was supposed to have got anointed from the oil. Let's begin to see once the David was anointed from something like this, a horn of oil. From this, now you would ask, what is the difference? There's a huge difference here. Why? Because you have to get the horn, you have to kill the lamb. You know? The lamb has to be killed first. And from the lamb you have to take the horn. So there's a long process to get this horn, to put the oil. And as a result of two different anointing here. But for the same, there are different purposes. But these two people, kings, also for the nation of Israel, they were doing some work for the nation of Israel. But the both of them in their work was totally different to each other. And let's begin to understand what these two people did. When Saul received the anointing, the prophets also asked, what is this come unto us, the son of Kish? His father was Kish. Is Saul also among the prophets? You know, Saul got the anointing, he also started prophesying. And the prophets asked, how come this man? No, he's belong to this tribe of Benjamin. He's a warrior tribe. He's a professional warrior. And he got the anointing. Now he is speaking, prophesying. He's also among the prophets. It's a surprise. See, my goodness. See, this guy also among us. And what happened was, God ordained Saul for a very specific work, because the children of Israel asked for a king. But one instance, we find that Samuel was totally unhappy with Saul. Why? Because the commandment is, when you go to a battle, when you conquer a nation, destroy everything. Don't take anything for you. Absolutely refrain from taking. So one day, Saul has gone to war, won the battle. Now Samuel comes to see him. And here he says, and Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine eyes, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So he's asking from Saul. The Saul says, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have destroyed. When God told him to destroy everything, this man, Saul, has taken little portion which is the best and said, I brought them to do a sacrifice to the Lord. Wherefore, Samuel says, wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of God? Now, Samuel is telling Saul, why did you do this? When God has told you to do something, you have done evil by bringing this portion to you. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He said, no, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way the Lord sent me. I did everything what the Lord sent me, and I have brought the Agag the king, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. God wants to do this for me, I have done that. But the people took the spoil, sheep, oxen, the chief among the things which should be have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord in Gilgal. In other words, he is telling, I destroyed everything. I destroyed the Amalekites, destroyed the king, everybody. But the people have taken the best, not for anything else, but to a sacrifice to the Lord in Gilgal. Let's see what Samuel says. And Samuel said, hath the Lord great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, the obey is better than the sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of the rams. And he says to Samuel, Saul, for the rebellion as sin of witchcraft, and the stubbornness is iniquity of idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from king. Now, would you say the Saul's anointing from somebody else? No, it is the Lord. But it was for some specific work. But what happens was, he was like these people who are trying to mix. You know, you remember, many people, even Cain, messed up in obedience to the word of God, in sacrifice things of God. So here is this man, He says, I have selected these things to sacrifice unto the Lord. Same way, Aaron's sons also did that to sacrifice to the Lord. The wrong way doing things, God hates that. So he says, rebellion is sin of witchcraft. And he says, obey is better than the sacrifice. Now what happens is, being a very professional warrior, he is very good at that, Saul. But what happened was, Saul had different priorities other than the priority of God. Let's see the David's anointing. You know, David was anointed by Saul from the horn of oil. To get the horn of oil, horn is a big process. It's anointed by the Lord with a very specific design. Then said David to Philistines. Now he is going before Goliath. See what David says. Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, of God of the armies of Israel, with whom thou defiest. So what happens here is, this anointing identifies that David has a bigger and better revelation of the Lord and who he is. Though he is very small in the presence of Goliath, he identifies himself with things of God. And he says here to the Philistine, I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth might know there is a God in Israel. So you find that in the life of David, you could see something totally different to what in the life of Saul. That is more evident in some of the things here. In the scripture says, David went on, Samuel 2:5-10, and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Wherever, whatever he did, the Lord of hosts was with him. And then in his song, David says, God is my strength, my power, and he maketh my way perfect. So you could understand that David was a perfection in whatever he does for the Lord. He desires perfection. And then he says, he maketh my feet like a hind's feet, and setteth me upon my high places. So you could see that there is a definite, a closer relationship with David and God here. And here, this is an experience which he put very passionately by David. And the David says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whereas, you could see, that is why God called David. He looked at David. Of course, David had some faults as well. But overall, God looked at David and says, man after my own heart. Didn't he say that? He said, man after my own heart. So the two different anointings, two different endings. Saul ended in disgrace because God rejected him, because he did not fully follow the Lord in obedience to his word. He did not have the close knowledge of things. It is so vivid, so close, so clear. When he was losing the battle, finally, in his last stages, he lost hearing the voice of the Lord. He went to a witchcraft. He went to a witch to ask about the future. You know? He went to a witch to ask about what is going to happen. And you know that story. So what happens today is, these are very two distinct anointing to the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ would receive the anointing like David was received through the process of the sacrifice. When Jesus sacrificed his body on the cross, when his blood was shed, right? And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, without the shedding of the blood, there are no remission. So if that is very clear, the blood has to be applied in the process of our salvation, in the process of redemption. There is only one way that can take place, and that is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is exactly when God told Peter, I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom, to authority to unlock the revelation. And he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And if anybody has not gone through that process, you fall onto the other side of the anointing, not this side of the anointing. I should be very clear on that. There is no compromise in that. God does not have two different ways. He doesn't have right way or left way or middle path. There is one way. The Bible says, I am the way. There is no other way. Very specifically. So if you are to have your sins remitted, the only way is that you need to come the way that has been unlocked by the Lord's plan and design. The Bible says that Jesus gave him the keys or the authority to unlock. And that process has to be the way that God let his anointing to come upon. Therefore, brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, I have to tell you, like Jesus said, thief cometh on the other way. Many people come before and even after. They are not the right ones. So, brothers and sisters, there is a very clear definite separation here by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it has to come through that same process of sacrifice. Because David was anointed from the horn of oil. That horn of oil, horn is possible when the Old Testament in Israel, when the fatted lamb is taken, when he is cut and sacrificed, his horns are taken. And that horns are kept for this very specific purpose of the anointing for the design of God. So God looked at, and he was chosen before the foundation. And when King Samuel, when Samuel stood before Jesse's children, and he looked at all the big children, and he couldn't find anybody. He asked, Do you have anybody else? Because the Lord, he looked at him and said, this is the man. The Lord said, No, he's not. You are looking at the structure, I'm looking at the heart. You see? I'm looking at a man which has a heart which had something similar to what I think. Then Jesse said, okay, there is a small willow, youngest, in the field. Call him. And the Lord says, anoint him. He is the person. So it was not designed by somebody else. It is designed by God to anoint David. And that is why Samuel took the horn of oil instead of bottle of oil. And there is a definite difference between the bride of Christ or the true body of Christ through the process of this anointing. And when you are anointed through that process, the right way of baptism, the Bible says this anointing will lead you to all the truth. Not one truth, but all the truth. One after one, the precept upon precept, line upon line, all the truths you would be led to by the anointing that you would receive. So therefore, definitely there are two different anointings here presented by the Lord at that time, and even He presented to us. There are people, you would ask, brother, you know, there are a lot of people who are, you know, performing miracles, they are having services, they are preaching the gospel, well and truly good. There's nothing wrong in it, but only thing is, there are people who have no revelation like David. There are no revelation like David had. David had the revelation when he was like a shepherd boy in lonely with his sheep. The Lord spoke to him. And then he said to Saul one day, he said, look, I have killed a lion. I have killed a bear. Not through my power, but by God. And if you look at the Psalms that David has written, David has written an awesome number of Psalms. Obviously, that man has a greater revelation than anybody in this side of the Old Testament. Look at the Psalms. There has to be a glorious revelation has to happen to him. That's why he knew every truth. And some of the truth that are there in the Psalms, we are taking and presenting as revelation. But David knew at that time. David knew some of the things that even about the Lord, he knew. That is why he had written in the Psalms. So many things he had written about what is going to happen in the future. Because the anointing gave that. But whereas Saul was only worried about doing something to please people. What did he tell Samuel? I went and killed the Amalekites, destroyed them. I bought the king. But the people, I want to please them also, no? You know, they like to have these things. So they brought them to do what? Nothing but to do a sacrifice. That's what is going on in the Christianity today. In the denominational churches, what is going on is, they are not having a rock concert. They are also preaching the gospel. They are also in the God channel preaching the gospel. But they are doing like Saul did. They are trying to please both sides and entertain that and this. Have a little from here, have a little from there. But as far as the Lord is concerned, He is not interested in that. The Bible says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, He shall speak. And He will show you things to come. This is exactly what happened to David. He was went through the process. He knew what was that anointing. Whereas people are surprised to see this Saul's anointing. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine and show it to you. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take mine and show it unto you. In the final age, God begins to fulfill what he declared in his word. When he bring about certain setting ready for the bride to take her position. The bride will take her position, God will set that setting. The bride of Christ at the end time to see eye to eye, and they are going to be in agreement with the revelation with each other. Today you know there are 30,000 denominations and sects, but there is no agreement with one another. But the true body of Christ in this end time, there is going to be perfect harmony and agreement, because they are going to see the truth. When you see the truth, you would have an agreement. You would see eye to eye. The anointing that come upon the bride with the gifts restored will create conditions, the perfect functioning of the body, where every member will have power and a role to play. The days will come, brothers and sisters, if we are part of the true body of Christ, and with this anointing that we receive, the Lord would restore all the gifts that he had in operation in the first church age. And every one of us would have a role to play in that process. In the anointing that come upon you and me, would create conditions that there would be power of God come upon you, and that you would stand to demonstrate the gift that would pour by the Lord upon you. And that would happen. It is not something there today and something not there tomorrow. No. It is a sustainable, the power and the presence of God that would create conditions, and people begin to experience the demonstration of God's power. The confusion and disagreement prevailing in the denomination of Christians has brought spiritual death to them. You know, they are a bunch of confused people. There are confusion in them. There are confusion when they hold the word. They fail to fathom the things of God. And that will bring death to them, like it was so to Saul. Like in the first stage, not only the bride of Christ see eye to eye, they will continue to steadfastly in the truth and in the revelation of that in one accord. In the first stage, people came in one accord when they found the truth. And in the same way, it is going to happen in the end time bride globally. What we see, somebody, some small fellowship in America or England, in some other place, in Africa, in some place, they are going to see the same truth. And they are going to be thanking the Lord, and the gift will be in operation. When the fivefold ministry complete the task of bringing the bride to the stature and the measure of the Lord through the word, she will be ready to receive the final instructions. The fivefold ministry, like what we are having, which present the truth, and that truth will bring you and me to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are ready for the final instructions. So brothers and sisters, that is the anointing that will bring. And there is a difference between that and the church outside. And that anointing would also bring us to the second point which I am presenting to you tonight. The true body, first is the difference between them is the anointing. Second is the love of God. In Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure every part, maketh increase the body into edifying itself in love. One of the things that you would see in the true body of Christ, the love of God surface as nowhere else, which was definitely took place in the first stage. Paul says in Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. He is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ so loved and gave himself for it. We need to understand this. The love in Greek, the word love is written in three different meanings there. There are three ancient Greek words. We have one word called love, but there are three. Eros, philia, and agape. Eros is passionate, sensual, longing. Eros is selfish love. It seeks to satisfy only the individual senses and is limited in scope as to between two persons or material things. That's Eros. Philia has a wider scope than that. Through natural, the love expressed may be conditional as among the family, friends and neighbors. Filial love is commonly known as brotherly love, or Philadelphia, that's why it's called brotherly love. Agape is generally used to denote the love that self-sacrificing, unconditional and voluntarily, even so much as to agape one enemies. Eros, once again, is a passionate, sensual and longing. It's a selfish love. It seeks to satisfy one, the only individual senses, and is limited in scope between two persons or material things. Philia has wider scope, though natural love express may be conditional, you know. All this has a return. You love because you are my brother, or you are my wife, you are my husband, you are my son, daughter. Agape is generally used to denote love self-sacrificing, unconditional, voluntarily even as to. Now we know this. Let's understand this story where Jesus very profoundly mentioned to Peter. So when he had dined, Jesus said unto Simon, Simon the son of Jonah, when he asked Jesus asked Peter, he asked, lovest thou me? He asked, Simon, do you agape me? Do you agape me? He even asked Philio. He asked, Lord asked Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with sacrificing unconditional love? Then Peter says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I filio thee. Peter's response is, I filio thee. Jesus asks, do you agape me? Peter says, I filio you. Filio means natural, conditional, among family, that kind of. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said unto him again the second time, Simon son of Jonah, do you agape me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I feel you thee. Said unto him, feed my sheep. You see what happens in the church today. Jesus asks us, do you agape me? But what do we say? We feel you. What is happening in the Christianity today is, they are giving the Lord filio. It is not the agape. Peter was asked, do you agape me? He said, I filio you. So if there's a difference between the true church and the bride is, it is this. Because Peter is a person who loved his profession. He's a professionally a fisherman. When Jesus died, when everything was uncertain, Peter said, I go fishing. Yes, I'm going back to my profession. I go fishing. I have nothing to do. I go back to my earlier job which I loved. I'm going back to my past. And then Jesus rose from the dead and came. And when he came to the finally, to the seashore, when these people were fishing and they couldn't catch anything, and Jesus said, put your net on the right side in the deep. And they caught exactly a huge number of fish, but it is 153. You know, that has a significance. So when Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you agape me than this fish, these boats, this family that stands there, do you agape me than that? Peter couldn't understand. He can only give it to the Lord, a filio. You know what happens today in the church? It is only a filio. It's only a filio, not an agape. Because it is a filio, we are like what we are today. We are like what we are today. Because our love to the Lord depends on what He can give it to us. It depends. It depends on what Lord can give it to us in return. It is not a sacrificial love. It is definitely not a sacrificial love that the church is returning today. But do you know, Peter, in this moment, he was not received the proper anointing from the Lord. Here, he went to his former job. He loved the boats, he loved the fishermen. But he has not received the anointing from the Lord. You remember, Jesus, before he was crucified, he breathed onto them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed onto them. But the Holy Spirit was not given. So the disciples, they were more or less understanding the things of the kingdom from a human angle. And I think the church is also like that today. When the Lord is asking, give me agape, we are giving him filio. Second best. That is why, brothers and sisters, if you look at the priority list you and I have, in our priority list, God is somewhere not on top. We have our own private agendas. We have our own private things which we need to satisfy first of all. And what Peter would have thought was, okay, the Lord is asking him, you know, to do this, I will do with what I have, you know, what capacity I have, I will do it, because I can only do it filio. But the Lord is interested in not filio from you and me. But we are giving the Lord the filio because it's not a sacrificial love that we are giving to the Lord. You see, today, many people God is not so important. All things of God is not that important. In your priority list, there are so many things. Look at the Sunday. Do we keep it as His day? You know, for us, the Sabbath normally in Israel, the Sabbath start not following day, the previous evening. It start in the previous evening. The Sabbath really, the celebration of the Sabbath start from the evening or the previous Friday, not from the Saturday morning. And I know we prepare at our home from evening. When we arrange the place on Sunday evening for the morning service, when the furniture is shifted, when the preparation goes to that, and Sunday morning also we have a service, and we finish by about 12 o'clock, and then we have lunch, and we have a short break, and 3 o'clock we start, and 4 o'clock we are here. And then we start the service here at 5 o'clock. And I think that's, I'm not saying that is a sacrifice enough. There's so many things that we need to do. But what happens is today, a lot of people are not giving what the Lord wants. And that's why when Jesus asked him, Simon, son of Jonas, do you agape me? And I want to pose that question to you and me. The Lord is asking from you and me, do you agape me? But we are telling like Peter did, I fill you thee. Twice he asked. What is your guess? The third time, what did he ask? Third time, the Lord, what did he tell him? Did he tell him agape or filio eros? What? What is your guess? Now this is the second time also Peter got, Jesus asked him, Peter, do you agape me? First time also. What is the third time? What is your guess? What Jesus said? What is your guess? No. In fact, he changed. He said unto him third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest filio thou me? Because finally the Lord told him the difference because he couldn't understand. First time and the second time Jesus said, do you agape me? He said, I filio thee. And the third time finally, because he is looking at the human angle, he says, do you filio me? And this time he never said more than this. Jesus never mentioned about that word, do you agape me more than this? You know, brothers and sisters, this time the anointing was not received. But when Peter received the anointing, he was a different man. When the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, look at the Peter's life. It totally changed from filio to agape. It totally changed from filio to agape because Peter was put in prison, he lost things, and he gave everything what he has back to the church. And in the first stage, the every believer, every church, the love they expressed was agape. That is why they sold everything they had and brought to the church. And not only that, they were willing to go to prison or be beaten for the sake of the Lord. How many times Peter was beaten in public and in private? How many times Paul was beaten? And he was told, don't go there. He said, look, I'm willing to die for the Lord. And he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So what happened was, in the first stage, when the anointing came, because this anointing of sacrifice, you know, the anointing that they got was anointing of the sacrifice. David was anointed with a horn of oil because it is a sacrificial oil, sacrificial anointing. Because the lamb was put to death and the horn was taken. So in the same way, Peter and the rest of the apostles was anointed, and that anointing is a sacrificial agape anointing. And when that happened, they were more than willing not only to give their assets, their families, everything, but even be beaten or die as martyrs for the Lord. That is what happened in the first church. But let us look at ours. Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice the Sunday sleep for the Lord? Are we willing to sacrifice something for the Lord? Are we willing to sacrifice some little things which we passionately love and hold on to? And that's exactly the Lord is looking for. You go to denominational churches. What do you have? It's a sugar-coated, a capsule presented to them. And they would come and they would receive and they go back. And if you ask something more, they said, no, I don't want. I only want to come here. I don't want to do something more than this. I give my tens, tithes, everything. Beyond that, I'm not willing to do. I'm not willing to do all like other people, you know. I'm not interested in that. Sundays I go in the morning. I go to church. I do this. I do that. But beyond that, I'm not interested. That's what that young man told the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I do everything. I do everything what the commandment says. But Jesus looked at him. He agape him. Bible says he loved him. He agape him and says, sell you all what you have, follow me. But he could not do. Jesus said, it is difficult for rich people to enter into the kingdom. Then the disciples asked, we have left everything, our family, our everything. So what is the position of us? He says, anybody who leaves anything for me would receive 100-fold this time and in the kingdom in the new generation. Now what happens here is, the Lord is telling the church that loves the Lord today, it is a filial love. It's a filial love, like Peter said when he was not receiving the proper anointing. Like Saul, they are trying to do things. But in the sideline, there are certain things which they want to keep, which take the place of God. Brothers and sisters, the key difference in the end time church is that church would be, or that body of Christ would give to the Lord the agape. And that means that you and I have to sacrifice certain things for the Lord. Certain inconveniences, certain things which we hold on to as our right to hold on to. You know, there are certain things which we feel, you know, I must do this. And I think this is the true church, if we are telling in the last days, before the dreadful day, the hearts of the children will go back to the hearts of the fathers. And they were agape people, not filial people. They were willing to give in. They were willing to let that out. They were willing to more than be, you know. I'm struggling here to sometimes commend the service on time, because we have a short time, 5 to 7, and we have a short period of singing. And I think keen to come and commence and give the Lord these 2 hours and make sure that the word is also presented according to the way the Lord wants. And I think sometimes you and I need to, I know it's difficult sometimes in this climate, there are so many roadblocks, security, checking and everything, so we get various obstacles on our way. And I think, brothers and sisters, let's be honest with us. If I ask you, and if I ask me the question, like Jesus asks, do you agape me? If Jesus tells you and me, do you agape me? Let us be honest before Him. Can we say we agape Him? Or do we say we filio Him? And I'm sure, including me, still we are filioing Him. But the anointing that the Lord has given to us is different given to them. And that anointing would really make you to hold on to it, because something much more valuable or precious is given to you and me through the anointing. And that is why that we have to give it to the Lord, the agape. And I believe this group of people here is always a small group of people. It's not a large numbers who will give agape to the Lord. It would be difficult, because if the Lord Jesus Christ felt the pain of giving Himself, you don't have to go through crucifixion. Of course not. Like on the, you know, April, a lot of people go through the way of the cross, and some people get themselves crucified. You don't have to go through that. It is finished. It is finished. You don't have to go through that pain. But what you have to go through is, there are certain expectations of the Lord from you with regard to your commitment, your walk, the way you prioritize things in your life, where you put various valuable values in your life, where you identify things, which is right, which is wrong, which things to be done. And the Lord is telling tonight to all of us, set the things in order. Set the priorities in place. So far you have been following you, the Lord. We are far below the expectations of the Lord. The Lord says, the anointing that you have received is the different anointing than the anointing that is outside. When Peter did not have the anointing, he said, I filio you. But when he received, he stood before people boldly, and he was willing to be offered himself as a sacrifice to the Lord. The end time church, brothers and sisters, before the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater reflection and expression of the agape in that body. So what we found was, Peter was saying that he indeed have a great affection for the Lord. You also avoided part question. So this is exactly I explained to you. It was easy to filio Jesus, but agape Him will cost something significant. Agape is a sacrificial that love that put Christ and His word above all things. His word and the obedience to His word above all. Look at Saul. He did everything, but he had a little thing brought. He said, little leaven the whole lump. He brought that little thing to offer a sacrifice. Many of us often say that we love God. In reality, it is filio. But God demands from us is agape. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That means agape. With all thy heart, with all thy soul. He said, thou shalt agape the Lord. Commandment is not to filio the Lord. Agape. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is, thou shalt agape thy neighbor also. You know, you can say, not only agape God, but agape your neighbor also. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Beloved, John 1 John 4, 7 to 9. Beloved, let us agape one another. No filio. Let us agape one another. For agape is of God. Everyone that agape is born of God. And God and knoweth God. He that agape knoweth not God. He that agape knoweth not God. For God is agape. This was manifested, the agape of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. So He's very clear. God gave and He expects the agape. The agape love is demonstrated by the body of Christ when they obey the word. God loves us, He gave His Son to us. He gave life to us, He gave His word to us. Agape is about the word of God, and God wants to reveal the word and His plan and purpose, His life to us. 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily, the agape of God perfected. Thereby we know that we are in Him. Again I read the scripture. But whosoever keepeth His word in him, verily is the agape of God perfected. Thereby know we that we are in Him. So brothers and sisters, I presented to you this evening two important things of the three which will definitely distinguish between the bride of Christ and the rest of the Christianity. First is the anointing. Second is the love. The third is the unity of faith, which is expressed in the word. That unity is not this all these denominations coming together. No, they have already come together for something else. Let them fulfill that as designed by the beast system on the WCC. But the true body of Christ coming to the unity of faith is mentioned here for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this word is very important. 14:3-13. Till. This word says till. Till means a process of time. Till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Brothers and sisters, you look at the life of David. When God looked at him and finally told him, he is a man after my own heart, Because he never said that to Saul. Saul was anointed again, but he did not fit in to that bill, that profile. But you find, if you look at the life of David, he came to the in the process of time to a clear understanding of the Lord, His word, His expectations. You remember, he was so specific. When he had two times to kill Saul, he never did that. Remember, he had two occasions to kill him. But he said, I will not do it against the anointed of the Lord. You know, he said that because he feared the Lord more than anything else. But he also knew the anointing he had and anointing Saul had was too different. Because he always, if you read the Psalms he had written, you would experience and say, if we did not have the New Testament, you look at the Psalms and you would have the clear revelation of God through their writings. It has to be the anointing. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, when that anointing came, you and I had the New Testament. You and I had the New Testament because the anointing that came upon the apostles, that anointing sacrificially wrote these books. John the Revelator was in Isle of Patmos, highly infested with all the poisonous snakes and rats and various kinds of them. And he was put into a pot with boiling water or whatever. And so much of things when he began to write and these things. So it is, Paul was in the prison when he wrote some of the letters, some of the epistles. The anointing. So was David. He was running and living in caves and in jungles in places, and there he writes this experience with the Jehovah, Yahweh Elohim God. Brothers and sisters, the anointing that you and I would receive in the process of time would bring us to a condition, a place, that we would have a very clear, very, very specific, very clear knowledge of God. If you look at the denominations, they don't have that very clear knowledge of God or the unity of faith. Unity of faith is the word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word. So the unity is here. When you see eye to eye, from Revelation to Genesis to Revelation, the very clear picture the Lord gives for His bride. You would not have any doubts, you would not have any misunderstandings, you would not have any confusions, because the Lord would reveal A to B, B to C, and up to Z. There will not be a missing part here and there. There won't be anything missing, because He will complete everything. Because the Bible says, till we come, it's a process of time, He is going to bring us all to that condition. The word perfecting speaks of a work of progress. It is something in action, something that is going on something, that is bringing something to its final state as a perfect object, perfecting. He says, he is perfecting us. We are being perfected. So it's the process that is taking place. You know, when the perfecting takes place, there are certain things chipped off. You remember Michelangelo, that marble, even when somebody is perfecting a blue sapphire or whatever, you know, chips off, perfect. So the perfecting, he chips off. Brothers and sisters, there are certain things to be chipped off from our lives so that we are perfected. The edifying speak of being lifted up. Edifying does not leave you in dark, neither should leave in question. It brings you to realm of information. That's exactly the fivefold ministry. The edification means that you are lifted up to see things, clear information, so that there will be no question or uncertainty. When the body of people sitting together in heavenly places in Christ, they will see the things of the kingdom. See eye to eye with one another in the body. You know, when you are seated in the heavenly places, you would very clearly see the things of the kingdom. David, even before, saw, "My Lord said unto my Lord, my Lord said unto my Lord." And he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, in corruption." Referring to the resurrection and going into the right of the bottom and the resurrection, death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he saw everything in very clearly. That anointing, even before the Lord came in the scene, David saw it because of the anointing. Brothers and sisters, the anointing that the Lord would give you and me would enable me and you to see things very clearly. There won't be any confusions, there won't be any doubts. And when you see it, you would be, you see, lifted up, edified, you would be strengthened. The unity of faith is when people are united to understand what God's divine design for His children is ultimate objective. You see, God has created that atmosphere right now for His people to experience Himself. And the unity of faith is when we understand the divine design in the world very clearly. It is only by the leading of the Holy Spirit that the body of Christ is begin to collectively come together to understand the scriptures. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. If you are a child of God, He will take you and put you exactly where you are supposed to be, in the true family of God. God will bring a nucleus of people out of the denominational system and begins to put them on the pathway till they come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is what the Bible says, Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that agape God, not filio, agape God. This love is agape. Don't ever take this verse and allow people to say various things, because it means agape God. We know that all things work together for good to them that agape God, not filio God, them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. You know, till the process of time to conform, that he might be the firstborn among the many brethren. We are the brethren, he the firstborn of the many brethren. And moreover, he did predestinate them also, whom he called them, justified, whom he justified, them also glorified. Brothers and sisters, the time is awaiting ahead of where God is going to glorify us. Jesus said, the glory that I had with you, glorify thou for them their sake. I sanctify them for myself for their sake. The glory that I had with you, give it back. So glory that God has for me and you, when he had me and you in his mind, where our names are written there, that glory is awaiting for you and me. But the Lord is expecting his people, his body of Christ, to give him agape. So brothers and sisters, you are your own judge. I'm not going to be the judge or anybody else. You look at the denominations. Does their anointing take them to understand the full truth of the word of God according to the divine design, like the David has? Are they experiencing the agape of God, or are they giving people filio? God is expecting agape, not filio. And this anointing, brothers and sisters, will take us to the unity of faith, to full knowledge of the Son of God. And that's why God says very profoundly through the scriptures, through his servant Paul, says, we know that all things work together. If you want everything work together for you, for good, to them that agape God. And if things are not working well for you, it is because your filio, it is the filio that you offer to the Lord. And you are being called according to his purpose. Our calling is to conform to the image of the Son, who is the firstborn among the brethren. We are the next line of brethren. He is expecting us. He has justified us. And now he is expecting to glorify us, you and me. And I think that's exactly the Lord is going to do. And I think the Lord has, by his grace, given us opportunity to be a part of the true anointing of the Lord, to express agape to God, and given us that anointing to be part and parcel of the very design of God. This is exactly what the Lord designed for you and me, brothers and sisters. Let us make a very firm understanding here. If we have that anointing, it is not half-baked one. You remember, in the first church, a church was agape church. There was no room for filio. There is no room. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold to give, kept apart, and came that with that part. For Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Immediately, the death was the consequences. And when wife came, he says, the husband, the people are about to carry your body as well the same way. There is no way for filio in the true body. While we see the death in the denominational system, we see the life in the true body. While we see the falsehood in the denominational system, we see the truth. Brothers and sisters, God has given life. It's a sacrificial life. The love he has given, agape, and he expect agape from his children. Let's pray. This is an important time, brothers and sisters. The Lord has put this same question to me, the way it has been put to me. The Lord is asking from us all, do you agape me? Or are you saying, Lord, I filio thee? Maybe you have been filioing all this time. That is why the priorities have been mixed. Your profession, your possession, your things which you hold on to take the place of God. What you give to the Lord is filio. And if you are part of the true anointing, this is something will naturally come to you. Dear brother, dear sister, tonight the Lord is speaking to all of us. He is telling very specifically that He is preparing His body, His bride, for the final conclusion. And He says there is no room for filio in the true body of Christ, while there is plenty of room in the outside, in the so-called Christian world, in the bride, in the body, there is no room for filio. Remember the anointing. Have you got the sacrificial anointing from the horn of oil? Look at your life. Look at my life. There are many things which take priority, preeminence than the Lord. There are many things which is the Lord is thoroughly displeased. And He is telling all of us tonight, my children, I have given you the life. I have given everything which I have designed for you. And in turn, what you are going to offer has to be agape and not less than that. And if that happens, the Lord says to us that you would see the glory of the kingdom, the glory of what God has designed for you. The things that eye hath not seen, the things that ear hath not heard, the things that you never understood, the Lord is going to unravel and open that for us. The Lord is very much hurt with all of us. Because we have been in the status of filio, and we have given Him the very second best, less than the second best. And the Lord is telling tonight very specifically to you and me, the time is at hand. There are many things that would unravel in the world, which would be a very clear sign of an indication of the signs of the closing moments in this confused, wicked and crooked world. The Lord has placed His signs very specifically to speak. And tonight the Lord is speaking to us and telling us If you have the anointing which comes from the horn, the Lord would give you. There is nothing that you put as valuable than giving your life back to God. Remember, hearts of the children have been turned to the hearts of the fathers who had the anointing and also the expression of agape. That the Lord expects something to us, from us. The Lord is going to speak to you tonight. As you go on your way to home, there are certain things that you need to put it in order in your house, in your family, in your life. If you have received the anointing, it is going to happen. The Lord is going to definitely show you today and tomorrow. Father, we are indeed thankful to you, Lord, for your goodness, your loving kindness and your mercy to us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, for your mercy, because you have chosen us before the foundation and given us the grace, Lord. We are being, Father, chosen by you to be identified with you, Lord, conformed to the image, to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you begin to, Lord, awaken us, Lord, to the truth, to the word, to the understanding and the calling, Father. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your grace would be sufficiently upon us. Give unto you what belongs to you, Lord. Like you said, Jesus said, give unto Caesar which belong to Caesar. Give unto God what belong to God. I pray that you and I would have very clear understanding. What is Caesar's, what is God's. And as we go back to this world, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. May His presence go before you, beside you. May He keep you in the center of His divine plan and purpose and will. May He let His face shine upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.